Always the best way. Say, me and Mildred are contesting each other in shooting practice. Want to come and look?
It'd be interesting. Mildred's a fine shot.
Exactly why I wanted to shoot against her. So why don't you get over to the contest and check it out? I just need to get my blaster.
You're not carrying it?
Just needed to clean it earlier, so it's still in the armory tent.
Tammy, following at a distance that wouldn't seem suspicious, saw Margia enter the tent. Unlike JB, who hadn't seen the blonde's back, she knew that Margia was, in fact, carrying her blaster. But she hadn't heard the exchange between the two armorers. As JB finished the M4000, Tammy approached the tent, intending to see what Margia was doing. But that wasn't to be, as the boys had stopped their appointed tasks when they saw her approach.
Hey, Tam, shouldn't you be at the contest? Or maybe she'd rather practice some hand-to-hand combat.
Shut up, boys.
What's the matter? You don't want to talk to us all of a sudden?
Maybe we're just too lowly.
It's not that. It's just that I wanted to see...
Wanted to see what?
That doesn't matter, stupid works.
By the time both Margia and Tammy had arrived back at the contest, most of the shooting had taken place. The contest wasn't in itself a competition. It was just something the Amazons used to spice up the otherwise dull target practice. There was an air of good humor about it all, and JB found the different stances and shooting styles fascinating. So much so that he hadn't even noticed that Mildred had refrained from talking to him. But even the laconic armorer noticed the change in atmosphere when Margia returned. She headed straight for Mildred.
Hey, what do you shoot with?
ZKR 551, checkmate.
What's a check?
No matter. It's a 38.
Can I see?
Why not?
Standing right in front of her and the others, there was nothing the blonde could do to Mildred's blaster. But Margia had timed her question carefully.
Your turn, Mildred.
Mildred went to take back her blaster, but Margia had produced her own from the sheathed holster in the small of her back.
Say, mind if I shoot with yours? It'll be fair if I give you mine. We'll both have unfamiliar blasters.
Okay. And God help you if you're setting me up, lady.
They walked to the line in the earth where the target practice began. Margia took position first, sighting carefully along the ZKR's barrel. She rattled off 5 shots in quick succession. From their position on the sheet covering the target, it could clearly be seen that the shots had clustered around the center.
You now, Millie.
It's Mildred.
She sighted along the blaster Margia had given her, a Kimber 45 ACP pistol. The compact blaster had a barrel located directly into the slide, and it held 7 rounds. Mildred loosed them in a smooth, repeating squeeze of her trigger finger. But even as the first round left the barrel, she knew that something was wrong. The blaster's weight felt wrong, as though something had somehow thrown it out of alignment. Her spread of hits was wider than Margia's, by no small degree.
What the hell? That bitch!
Even without looking, the Olympic sharpshooter knew that her performance had been the worst of the contest. And though she seethed at the deception, a part of her kept cool and looked at the blaster, searching for the cause of the problem.
Not quite what I expected. Maybe you'd better think of practicing with us on a regular basis, if this is the best you can do.
Mildred looked across at the armorer, whom Margia was eyeing while she talked to her. He was perplexed by Mildred's poor show. She knew that the last thing he'd do was blame her, but that didn't alter the fact that she'd let her friends down, albeit by a treacherous hand. Her gaze returned to the blaster in her hand.
Don't blame the tool, sweetie.
Margia swiftly removed the Kimber from Mildred's grasp and replaced it with the ZKR. She left the doctor impotent with rage and humiliation, to questioning stares from Tammy and Christy, and the others reflecting on the poor performance of the much-vaunted sharpshooter. She left with the Kimber nestling against the small of her back, holding fast its little secret, the delicate work on the barrel that threw its alignment and made it Margia's secret weapon for anyone in or out of the tribe who might cross her. They spent 3 more days traveling. The climate was still warm, but there were occasional bursts of rain that fell warm upon them from the heavy chem-stained clouds. It wasn't the scarring acid rain of farther south, but still had a tinge of chem that made their skin soapy if they stayed in it too long, the top layers of the epidermis softening as the rain soaked in. When the showers hit, it was hard to find cover, and the gate would gather into a protective circle, with the men using plastic sheeting and tarpaulins to cover the tribe as a whole. They were having trouble finding cover because the terrain was changing around them. The vast plains with the crops of trees shading them had gradually disappeared, the foliage and plant life spreading out into the grassland, until there was no longer any clear delineation. The trees that still dotted the landscape were no longer the twisted descendant of redwoods. They were now smaller, like stunted beech and silver oak, with gnarled trunks that harbored small mammals and birds' nests. In some areas, the foliage grew thick with twisting plant stems and root systems that made progress difficult. Instead of the steady pace they'd previously maintained, it was now a question of clearing a path through territory virgin to foot traffic. At the head of the tribe, Gloria would hack her way through, her flaming hair swaying to the easy rhythm of her movements, still gentle and unhurried, even in these circumstances. Ryan joined her at the front, his punga swinging in time with hers, his muscles rippling under the effort and glistening with sweat under the humidity of the rainy heat. Margia had kept up her campaign of sly sideswipes at Mildred, saying nothing and everything by the tone of her voice, constantly referring to Mildred's failure in the shooting competition, but always in a friendly manner. She was deliberate in not being openly antagonistic, not wanting J.B. to notice any hostility on her part. Mildred was having trouble keeping her temper. J.B.'s attitude to her hadn't changed, but she did notice that some of the other gate members looked at her as though she'd failed a test. Whether this was because of her failure against Margia as a marksman, or because she wouldn't rise to the obvious bait the blonde armorer was laying before her, Mildred couldn't be sure. But one thing she could be sure of, her patience was worn thin, and it was only a matter of time before she snapped. Preparing camp was harder now, as the gate and Ryan's people had to hack back swaths of foliage to clear space for the campfire and tents. The baffling that had served so well in wooded glades had to be more securely planted to prevent the cold night winds from driving it down, and it was harder for the guards to keep hidden in the lack of cover during the still watches. Despite this, they were able to set up a reasonable resting post on each night. On the third night, as darkness fell, Ryan and Doc conversed with the Gate Queen.
I would hazard a guess that from the map here we are headed toward the area where the old capital was once located.
That's where the main nukes would have hit. It's still a complete no-go area, what little of it is left. Trader had never seen it, but like he used to say, you don't have to see this shit to know that it smells.
Picturesquely put, my dear boy, and probably just about accurate. There was the strong stench of corruption stinking out those corridors, the corruption of power madness, the insanity of pointless acquisition of power for its own sake.
I'm sorry, honey, but I can't understand a word you say.
Madam, if you had seen what I have, you would understand. I could see it in those white coat eyes. If nothing else happened in the days of Skydark that was good, then at least it cleaned out the canker eating at their souls.
Doc, if we're not going to the old capital, then where are we headed?
To oblivion, Ryan. Inevitably, as must all men. But right now, I would say we were going to scout around to the northwest of the continent. Strange, is it not, how everything seems to pull us this way? I remember a story from the White Coats, a rumor only half heard through an office door, but nonetheless...
Burned meat? I'll give you burned meat, motherfucker!
Mildred.
Margia, damn it!
It's about time you came out with what you meant, lady, because I'll tell you one thing. You wind a spring too far, it snaps, and that's me, girl!
Come on, calm down, Mildred.
Fuck that, Christy! Nobody makes cracks about burned meat and my pops and gets away with it!
She didn't mean that, Mildred. How was she to know your father was burned alive in his church?
The fuck she didn't. I'm gonna put my foot so far up that racist bitch's ass, she's gonna be coughing up Nike for days.
Jesus, Margia, just tell Mildred what you meant so we can get this all over with.
What do I mean? Why, Mildred, Christy, I don't bother to hide things.
Look, bitch, I don't know exactly what you want. To make me look bad in front of John, in front of everyone? To take him for yourself? Just to play some motherfucking stupid game for all I know, but you've gone too far now.
Margia had expected the strike and was ready for it. Mildred jabbed with a straightened hand, fingers rigid, powering the blow from the elbow so as not to telegraph, aiming for just under the blonde's ribs with an upward thrust. If it had struck home, it would have driven the breath from Margia's body and been a hammer blow to her heart, despite the hard muscle that ridged her torso. But the Amazon was quicker, her anticipation adding fire to her reflexes. Her right arm swept down, deflecting Mildred's arm, and she shot her left arm forward, with her hand turned palm up, driving it into Mildred's face. Mildred snapped her head back before the full force of the blow could hit her, but it was still enough for her to see stars as the heel of Margie's hand brushed against her. Mildred toppled back, and knowing that she couldn't prevent her fall, she relaxed into it. She hit the ground, tensing her calf and thigh muscles to propel herself back upward. But Margia had already anticipated this move. Instead of staying on her feet to deliver the next blow, as Mildred had expected, Margia had followed